From Georgia Public Broadcasting, it's On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Today we're changing things up a bit in our break room. Their guests are taking a break. Instead, we have a group of women who work in finance to talk about women and finance. We've got a wonderful sight around the table with Tara Jackson. She's the founder of the financial blog Madam Money. Tara, thank you.
Thank you.
So glad you're here. Helen Ngo is a certified financial planner at Capital Benchmark Partners. Hello, Helen.
Hello.
And Maddie Gilroy, she's Senior Assurance Associate at an Atlanta firm. Hello, Maddie.
Hi.
Well, big picture, we've been hearing a lot about women and money today. Do women have a different relationship to money than men? Long pause.
I know, right? Who's going to go first? I do think that women have different relationships. We all have relatively the same relationships, and I talk about that in my upcoming book. There are four financial languages. But women, we do have a different, we have an emotional tie to how we deal with money, whereas men may have an analytical with everything else. So emotionally, if I'm a spender, I'm going to spend when I'm very emotional. So we just have different, I think we have different perspectives and a different emotional scale that controls some of the things that we do with spending.
How about the rest of you? Have you seen emotional connections with women and money that obviously in your work you have to work with?
I don't know if it's a difference in emotions. I think you know, everybody has an emotional tie to money, whether it's men or women. But I do think that we assess risk in managing money and what type of investments we take on is quite different than men. It doesn't mean that we take on less risk. I think that is an actual misunderstanding in the market that women take on less risk. We just assess it differently.
Oh, that's Helen. How about you, Maddie?
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Helen.
Well, so this is a really interesting thought that women have been the traditional holders of the purse strings and managing money and budgets within families, but not thought of as responsible enough to have the final say on big purchases. Now, do you think, how would you advise a woman who is trying to manage money and not feeling like she's really in control of the family budget?
In dealing with my clients, one of the common responses I hear when because I deal with couples, and when they come in, especially with the older generations, they usually the guy comes in and he's the dominant one taking over the conversation, and I always ask him to bring his wife too, and I get her to open up. And the one comment they always say is, "I'm not good with math." And I said, "I don't think that's true. If you can add, subtract, and do basic arithmetic, you know how to manage your finances, because it's money coming in, money going out. Mm-hmm. It's not calculus that you're trying to do with money."
Mm-hmm. Well, so that's a real strong self-perception. Do you find that with the women that you work with, that they have this idea that they're not good with money and therefore they kind of shut it off?
I think they just don't. I think some of them just don't have an interest in what the financial markets really are. And I ask him that directly, and they said, "Yeah, I really just don't have an interest. He's taken care of it, so I don't want to get involved." And I said, "But it's the financial household of your entire family, and what are you going to do when he passes away or something happens to him, and you don't know how to even access the money?"
Well, so that's a very traditional heterosexual relationship,
right?
How about for single women? How about
exactly
for other families?
So most of my clients are single women, and where we are the head of household, because I'm a single mom as well. And so there could be some things that we're afraid to tap into. Mm-hmm. There could be some avoidance that's happening there. But there's a lot of responsibility of being a single mom. Now you're the decision maker, CEO, CFO, COO of the family. And so a lot of people that I've talked to are afraid to talk about money because they don't know. They weren't taught in schools. Their parents didn't teach them. So they're learning on trial and error, heavy on the air. But when we have the conversation, that's when it opens up and it's not as scary in there. And I do hear a lot about, "Well, I'm not good with math. Mm-hmm. That's why I can't budget." Well, if you can add and subtract, or if you can spend money, you're good in math.
Yeah.
Well, Maddie, you work in a big financial firm. So we have this impression of the financial world as being very cutthroat, very anti-female. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that to a certain extent. But I think the shift is definitely changing for women. And I think it's important we have the confidence to believe in ourselves and know that we are just as capable as men.
Mm. And others, I mean, is that something you have to encourage your clients to do?
That is really big. What she just mentioned is to our confidence levels to do that. Because most women, I read a study, most women won't apply for a job if they're not 80% of the qualifications, but men will apply for the job if they're 50% or less, and 9 times out of 10, they'll still get the job and learn it on the way. And so when we build up our confidence and say, you know, I have at least 4 out of the 10 or whatever, and have the confidence to do that, we'll have more opportunities. But a lot of the opportunities are stifled because we don't have the confidence in pursuing certain things.
And I've heard the same thing about women not as willing to ask for raises in their jobs. Yes. So I'm hearing Madam Money talking here, Tara. So tell me about Madam Money, this entity that you've created.
Well, Madam Money, I wrote a book called Financial Fornication, and I just take a very...
Great title.
Thank you. I take a very intimidating conversation and turn it into something fun. So I talk about our personal and physical relationships and turn it into financial relationships, how we're financially promiscuous with our credit, not with just one credit card, but multiple. And we have all these financial one-night stands, and we end up with financial STDs, substantially tremendous debt, and we need cures, right? We need to learn how to date our banks, the 5 stages of it, so we don't get in a financially abusive relationship. And if we are, we need exit strategies. And so when I started the blog Madam Money, it really came from the book and trying to provide tips to people so that they don't feel intimidated by having the conversation, or at least starting the conversation. And I guess Madam Money just kind of stuck because financial fornication. But my whole goal is to make money matters manageable and to take intimidating conversations and break them down in a fun conversation. So that's relatively what I do, and people like for me to have a microphone to talk about that.
Well, we're glad you're on one this morning, but I want to pick up on that. This is a study from Starling Bank. This is analyzed the way that advertisers write to both men and women customers, and found that 65% of magazine ads portrayed women as excessive spenders, you know, saying like, you know, you're spending a lot. Why don't you make the safe choice and encourage them to save money? So very interesting. You were talking about the financial promiscuity. Do you think that that is aimed at women in particular, that there's this idea that you can't manage money? And where does that go?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think in society we think, oh, women, all they do is go shopping and buy shoes and handbags. But that's not always true. Men go out and buy shoes and handbags,
electronics
or other things. But why don't we ever talk about that? I look at people's budgets all the time, and you'll see, like, he's actually the one who's not saving, and the woman's the one who's a little bit more conservative. So I think there's an overhype that that women are bad spenders. We just spend on different things than men. It doesn't mean that we're bad.
That's Helen Ngo. She's a certified financial planner at Capital Benchmark Partners. She has the Live and Earn podcast. You heard from Tara Jackson, the founder of the financial blog Madam Money, and Maddie Gilroy is also with us. She's senior associate, assurance associate at an Atlanta firm. And we've been discussing the importance of women and money in the financial world and some of the challenges that they face. And I want to pick up on that idea of the how women are portrayed as heavy spenders, and whether that self-perception goes further. And in this case, has political implications. Currently, Stacey Abrams, she's being questioned on whether or not she would be fit to be governor based on her debt. Valid point?
No.
Sexist point?
That's a very sexist point, because there's a lot of men that have more debt than she has. Mm-hmm. And I think they're using that to distract people from what she was trying to say. I don't care if she has $200,000 or $2 million in debt. It's based on how she can perform. But it's a very... I'm really not liking that story, because if you look at it, the way we control the United States, how much are we in debt? Trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. And that's never an issue when it comes with a man going for election. Mm-hmm. Now, when a woman goes for the same position or an election, they're trying to pull. It's almost like they're trying to pull something to distract us from the true issues within that. So, I don't really care if she had $200,000 or $2 million in debt. Can she perform the job?
Any other thoughts, Maddie? Have you got any thoughts on that? Or, you know, about the sort of perception of women as big, heavy spenders and what that does to their self-perception? You want to decline?
Yeah.
She politely declines.
Helen, did you have something with that before I...
Again, just to reemphasize, I think that is just a place to blame mm-hmm. us, right? And it doesn't really create influence or positive influence for women. I mean, imagine a young girl or woman listening to this and they're like, oh, I'm a bad spender. And they hear that constantly. Then you're going to think that you're a bad spender.
Okay, yeah. So we got an email. A female millennials are significantly more stressed out than their male peers about their finances. And with good reason. 42% earn an income annually of $50,000 or more versus 57% of millennial men. Average total debt higher than male counterparts. Is female debt higher? Have you noticed that?
I don't know if the female debt is higher. Like I said, people have four dominant language, financial languages. They're either spenders, savers, investors, or givers. Right?
So you're picking up on this love language
idea. Yeah, exactly. But we have dominant languages. We can be fiscally bilingual and speak all four. But like, I'm a spender. I speak spending. So I'm a financial fornicator, hence financial fornication, right? But it doesn't make me any better than a saver because I can oversave. It's all about excessive in that. And I don't think that it's just women are financial fornicators. I think men are financial fornicators. As well. Like Helen said, with some of my clients, the husband is the one that does all the spending.
Yeah, but I want to get in there because, you know, the idea of financial abstinence, it's often this perception of, you know, you're either a big spender or you just don't give anything to yourself. You know, that's something mm-hmm. that a lot of women talk about, you know, spending on their kids or their families or other people mm-hmm. instead of themselves. Is that something you've picked up on, Helen?
They do spend on themselves, but they tend to, just from the comments, they express themselves as it's guilt, right? Mm-hmm, when they do take a girl's vacation versus, oh, I'm going to go on a man's trip and it's okay. And that's perceived as, okay, he can take a break because he's providing for the family. Mm-hmm. But then when it's the woman in the relationship, we almost kind of shame her for taking a day off or a weekend off to go with her girlfriends.
So you are, Helen, a Vietnamese-American, and I just
Correct.
Wondered if there's anything in particular inside of immigrant communities, this kind of concept of making it in America. Mm-hmm. How do you advise them, and how do they tend to think about money in your client base?
From my personal experience
yeah.
and my upbringing, we were very tight with money because—
So abstinence.
Yeah. You know, it's been pounded in my head ever since I grew up that we were poor, we don't have enough money. You need to store as much away as possible, right? And no, we cannot afford that bike at this time.
Right.
But we're going to pay for your education.
So priorities.
Priorities are, yeah, education. When we came over here, we brought you over here for a reason. We escaped Vietnam for a reason. So you better make something of yourself. So that's what I've heard my entire life, you know?
So, I'm sorry, were you going to pick up on something? The idea of, you know, you are all women in the workplace in various different ways. And what we've been hearing on the program today is like how things are in some ways historically biased. It's kind of baked in the cake about women in the workplace and their importance. And I just wondered, I'm shocked to hear if any of you have encountered sexism inside of the workplace.
Oh, that should be another show.
I know, that's a whole other...
So you reserved that for the last 2 minutes.
Out there, part two.
Throwing that out there with 2 minutes left to go.
Yeah, it has. For me, I think at some point I made the decision to not really care what other people thought or said or what the media thought or said about me. And I looked at the common denominator. I looked at the common denominator of all of this, whether I was getting paid enough, whether I was dealing with sexism, and that was me and how I perceived and how I acted. And when I start focusing on the common denominator that I did spend a lot or I needed to save more or I needed to ask for that raise. But the sexism in the workplace is very, very real. I've been in several situations where I was offered a job and I knew that the other person, which was a male, got offered the same job and was offered more money in that. But that came in with my negotiation skills. So mm-hmm. because I knew that, I learned how to ask for more. Even if it scared me, I still asked for more money. And then when I started to do that, you know, I had to close my own wage gap because I understood what I was worth in those situations. But sexism in the workplace is real. Sexual abuse, you know, sexual harassment is very, very real. It's with the Me Too movement, the light is being shined on it. So I think people are more afraid to go that route. But I think all of us has dealt with it, one shape or form.
I'm getting nods around the table, and that's all that we're going to be able to hear right now, or nods around the table, because we have to close. I want to thank you all so much for being here. Tara Jackson, the founder of the financial blog, Madam Money, thank you.
Thank you.
And Helen Noh, she's a certified financial planner at Capital Benchmark Partners, and the Live and Earn podcast is where she gets her voice out there. Thank you, Helen.
Thank you so much.
Maddie Gilroy, Senior Assurance Associate at an Atlanta firm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for being here. That's it for The Break Room today, a different kind of break room.